Welcome in, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show rolling on here. This is our final regular Friday of the season. Sorry, I'm trying to get her off the screen, too.
Yeah,
it was a little low on that one. I don't know
how. I tested. I thought it was good. It's probably StreamYard or
program. Yeah, it might be because it's going through two different things here. But
Listen, yeah, I mean, that was something else. And my wife's been talking about, I guess, like, she said, hey, this Thai girl's on America's Got Talent. I'm like, well, I haven't watched America's Got Talent since like 2009, 2010.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was when Daltrey didn't win it that time. I was like, oh, God, you know. Finally, I watched it, and I did this deep dive on this girl. And I know we got a lot of music lovers here. And her name's Nene Royal. She works. It's like, you ever been to like a beach resort? There's like a little cover band out there playing outside.
Right.
And all that. And so she does that in a place called Phuket, which is a popular beach resort in Thailand. And so like my mother-in-law and everything, we're watching America's Got Talent tonight. Because, you know, the Thais stick together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Unlike the Gamecocks that a couple of them that exist on X that were just trashing Deputy Smitty in our show. I can't believe Deputy Smitty of all people. That's how much of a loser. I must have missed
that.
One guy claims in his bio he worked for a college football program, and so I read through his tweets, and I'm like, they probably fired you, bro. You know? then you got other people. Yeah, well, everything's going to go 12-0. On ITG, they just took 12-0. And so it's him and the psycho that was tagging Beamer and everything, like the guy needs help.
Oh, yeah.
Y2K or whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
We had to finally mute him because he was tagging our show and tagging Shane Beamer, and it was getting kind of scary.
Right.
To be honest. It crossed all kinds of lines. Not a good thought. So, you know, the former employee for a championship program goes and starts tweeting, you know, these guys, you listen to them, they go 12-0. So I roll down through his list. And I guess because whatever he was charged with doing at whatever championship program he was part of, which I didn't even say football, so maybe not. I guess he was not in charge of player evaluation. Or he was and got fired. But why would he have done that if he won a championship? So I'm leaning towards nay on this. And, you know, the first one I come to is just trashing Nick Harbor over stats. And I'm like, bro, if you worked in football, you would know. Mm. You know, coaches aren't sitting there going, oh, God, the stats are terrible.
Yeah.
Well, the stats. Bruh. I mean, in fact, most coaches say this, stats are for losers. Okay. And every tweet I read was just like came directly from Loserville. So, and I hate to beat people up like that. I just don't understand the level of venom Gamecock fans have toward different factions and entities.
I know.
And Deputy Smitty is not controversial.
No.
You know, I mean, people are going to hate on me. They'll hate on JB for different things. They'll hate on Phil. They'll hate on Matt. But Deputy Smitty? I mean, you know, one person was like, they need to take – it's a shame if – like, talking about Smitty, like, you know, it's like, it's a shame if the University of South Carolina credentials him. That just speaks volumes about that. I'm like, credentials? This is 2026.
Right.
There's something called a content creator that exists, right? You know, zero. And I'm like, good God. By the way, Deputy Smitty.
I was going to say, he's going to be real disappointed moving forward on this show.
Yeah, I don't give a damn. I mean, I'm sick of these people. I mean, it's probably because we need the season to get here, so we have things to talk about. But I've sat there and read this crap for 3 months, and I'm just done with it while we have time to push back a little bit. Deputy Smitty spoke at the Greenville County Gamecock Club meeting, by the way, along with Derek Moore. And it was very successful. Obviously, people that are adult Gamecock fans that understand things enjoy him. He's got a big following. His number speaks for itself, as do ours. And I think, you know, some of these people are just so miserable in life that anything that's not a negative all the time and miserable like they are if that happens, if anybody, then all of a sudden it's, they say they're going 12-0.
First off, nobody has said
that. I've talked about this crap every day for the best offseason. I don't remember ever when I said 12-0. You know, I think I said the other day, you know, 7-5 would be disappointing because I feel that way. I didn't say they wouldn't.
No.
Now, Jamie Bradford's never said 12-0. I mean, Matt, did you ever hear that? Is it because Nick Harbor? Or is it because you don't work in football anymore and you're just bitter?
You're upset.
A bitter guy. Oh, my God. I got the bigger microphone than anybody. I mean, I don't. Stop messing with us, man.
I know. I mean, like, you. But be look, sure you know to what's tune a fun in on thing?
Tuesdays through the football season, because Deputy Smitty's going to be with us every Tuesday.
Yeah, Debbie's. Yeah. And I'm not changing that. I don't give a crap who complains. Right. I mean, you're not going to love every guest in every show. And if you don't like the show, that's fine. But, you know, making a comment like they should take it, I mean, which means you're trying to start a little movement if he did have credentials. This is so stupid.
I know.
But hey, it's Stupid Friday. If he did have credentials, you're trying to start a little movement with your buddies on X, hoping it goes viral to damage him. And you don't understand that it's what you're doing so insignificant it wouldn't. But just the fact you would think to do that because you don't care for somebody's YouTube videos. I mean, you know, or are you jealous that he got in? Because you could never get up in front of anybody at any Gamecock Club meeting ever because you're probably too shy. Oh, I'm nervous in front of crowds. You're probably too nervous to do that. So you sit behind a computer on X all day and tweet hate towards people you're fundamentally jealous of. You kind of probably wish you were Deputy Smitty. And I feel sorry for you on that. I've never personally in my life had that much envy. But if you do, man, it's okay. What you should do is just always just get it out on X. And then it would really be a little bit better if you identified who you were, like with your real name, like the rest of us do. Right. And then wherever you work, you know, maybe we could have a conversation with them about some of the Yelp reviews you've been reading or some of the stuff you put out.
Viewing.
You know, I mean, the one guy with Beamer, I was about to turn some of that craziness to the authority. I mean, it's scary, you know, and I don't think people realize how much they kind of frighten people with stuff like that. I mean, it's like, what are you doing? Why do you care? But we love the haters here.
We need more Dear Diaries. We need more Dear Facebook. X is just turned into people's diaries. And
I know.
And that stuff, you know, if Fauci's diary can get exposed, everybody's diary can get exposed. Just, you know, sometimes it's just nicer to say nothing at all. But who knows?
Yeah.
I know.
So I hit the nail on the head, which is why your butt hurt about it. Here he goes, Beamer Cock. This guy's been a D-bag for, I mean, this is the guy. It's Beamer Cock. So, and here he goes. Beamer flipped the wide receiver room to last year's group. That's really stupid.
No, you're just giving him an airplay, and that's what he wants, JC.
I understand. No. I mean, I'm helping out the unemployed.
Okay, that's true.
That's right. We're giving him some resume.
He goes after an account for predicting 10-2 multiple times. And then he get this one account maybe has a point about propaganda. I love the Gamecocks, but I hate propaganda. But see, there's a difference between propaganda. You know, number one, this account you're retweeting is not propaganda.
Yeah.
It's not coming from that place.
Yeah, propaganda is from the state.
So, and, you know, and then, oh, they're mentioning Chris Phillips. See, that they'll never forgive me for
that's all right. Yeah.
Going on with him. And you know, anyway, that I don't know. Yes, yeah, so I'm going through there. I'm going through all of them here. You hate Nick Harbor. And then the Momentum Invoice or the Momentum Investor. Okay, so he's into finance. Maybe I can get some tips from this guy. He says Todd Ellis could be the worst quarterback Carolina ever had. See, it gets back to statistics. All right, so this is a genius. So this guy worked allegedly for a championship program, all right? And God, I'm going to find out this guy's name at some point. I'm going on a quest for this. So the championship game. So this is a genius that sits there and accuses us of putting propaganda. Oh, and this next one's a doozy too. And I'm going to get into this, guys, because I want to give you an example of stupid people and why stupid people in all situations do not help a program at all. You know, because what they do is they're, you know, nobody likes Pollyannas. Nobody likes sunshine pumping. Nobody likes propaganda. None of us do, you know, and it's not. But what people that have this worldview are, which is a very stupid worldview, right, is there's no balance to their universe. It's either all one way or all the other. And then they just, you know, instead of building a house with, you know, different materials and stuff like that, what they do is they take a bunch of sand and stack it up and pee on it, hope it dries, and call it a mud hut. And it gets washed away as far as their takes go. That's how strong or weak it is. So here's the point. Todd Ellis. I know Todd Ellis has the most passing yards in USC history. All right, I thought you were a big stats guy. Well, okay. So you trashed Nick Harbor for only having 600 whatever career receiving yards. So does it matter or not? Okay, former employee. But he could be the worst quarterback we've ever had. Okay, I can list about five guys worse than Todd Ellis right off the top of my head.
Right.
But my guess is this guy never saw Todd play. And look, I've brought up the interception. The interception record will stand the test of time. It's not positive, right? But guess who else threw a lot of interceptions? Brett Favre.
Brett Favre argument.
But, you know, I mean, I thought we worked in football, right?
Well, LeBron James has the most turnovers of any NBA player of all time. He's on the court a lot. He's playing a lot.
And so if USC doesn't win 10 games this year, we need to excommunicate every single talking head around the program. The sunshine pumping is on another level. And I thought being 12 preseason last year was bad. Actually, it was 13. I thought you were a statistics guy and giving investor advice. Oh, my God.
And we all have votes into that, too.
There is more natty level talk than last year. And see, so here's propaganda. Here's the propaganda. It's not, hey, this is a really good roster, which is factual. Again, probably didn't work in personnel if you won a championship, thankfully. This is propaganda. Because what this is, oh, if they say anything positive at all, you know, even though you've got facts to back it up, like, hey, that guy's really big and fast. And here's what he did on tape. And here's what he needs to work on. And if he can do this, like football happens, you know, then he's going to be good. Otherwise, he's probably going to be the same guy he was last year, which is totally realistic if you know football. So anyway, the sunshine bum is on another level. There's more natty level talk than last year. I don't know of a single person that's serious that covers this program and that has talked about a national championship.
No.
Now, maybe you picked up a little piece here and there, right? You know, maybe you heard me talk about the blue chip ratio. You don't understand the blue chip ratio. You don't understand football. And so you heard the words national championship somewhere in your mind. And yeah, I guess, you know, there's a reason. So I just, you know, that's kind of crazy.
I want to give a shout out to X-Man, though. X-Man, you're not alone, buddy. I play Magic the Gathering, too, and I don't consider myself a dork. So we'll play
those. Aren't dorks. Really?
It's actually really fun.
The dorks are the ones. The dorks, to me, are these people that sit on X. And I'm sorry for picking on Beamer Cock or whatever. I'm sorry for picking on you, you know, and singling you out. But there's a lot of you, you know. There's too many of you out there that continuously hit the send button, you know, and people see and amplify it. There's a very small percentage of folks, you know, honestly. But I wanted to, because once we get in season, there's going to be all kinds of crap all over there that we'll have to ignore. But I didn't want to point that out. And I kind of think it's funny. You know, I kind of think it's funny when you see something and you're like, oh, God, you know, did we do that? And then you look and see who's tweeting it. And you're like, oh my God,
this guy.
Look at this. It's just insane. So just like,
Anyway. Is he here?
Yeah, and so he's been blocked for a bunch of people. Game Guy fans undoubtedly will say next year is the year we break through every whatever sport. Time is a flat circle, and a broken clock is right twice a day. I don't know. I don't know that necessarily that's the case. That's kind of what Clemson fans say. That may be what's going on here, folks.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the tell right there, right?
Listen, hey, check this out. Unbiased USC, a former employee on another team's championship program. Maybe this guy, maybe that's what he is. Oh, God, it's Billy, what's his name? The dude from the mom's basement. The Clemson fan that keeps the dossier.
Yeah.
That's who it is.
Is it really?
Because we've blocked him. Seriously, no, look at the patterns.
Yeah, it does sound about right.
It looks exactly like that.
I feel like we have the Always Sunny, like the post-it notes on the wall, like figuring this thing out. Wow.
Yeah, look. Oh, dude. Yeah, it's like a detective. No, because seriously, because only a diehard Clemson hater that's would say something about the receiver room like that, or that would. You know, I guess he retweeted an article from 24/7. Write better. Write better. Write better.
Write better.
I'm only going to write in 140 characters.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody cares about a wide receiver one who had 600 yards last year. Production matters. Not freak athletic this, track athlete that. Who should be impressed? Well, if you want to talk stats, he did lead. And I agree, Nick Harbor. I mean, that's what I'm looking for is, you know, guys, I believe he should produce more. I have not necessarily been on the hype train the entire time. Of course, apparently been on a big homer going 12-0. I think it's intriguing to discuss about him and the offense. I do think he's improved every single year. And if you worked in football, you would know that's how football works. Most guys
look at the games. Look at the games where Harbert gets 8+ targets.
Well, and yeah, and Matt's got some stats to back that up too. And then he did lead. If you love stats so much, here's some. I mean, he led the SEC in yards per reception. So he must be doing something right because he did not lead the SEC in yards per reception the year before. So logic does dictate. By the way, I think Don Staley got a commit. I just saw that.
Yeah,
a birdie. I like the birdie with the wig. That's pretty cool. So anyway, yeah, this guy, you know, he's run his mouth about our show or run his tweets about our show before and claims to have worked in football and all that good stuff. So somebody. Oh, God. Oh, and then this other guy, Diamond Gamecock, that took a shot at me. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that about the dude's mom. I mean, it's not supposed to be real life. Anywho, that's today in the world of haters. That'll be the last time we do that. I think we should make that, guys, like a – all right, so let's do that on the Friday before the season starts from now on.
It's like message board geniuses.
Yes. Like we do the special teams thing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 10 days out. So that's 8 right. days out will be our day to address the haters.
That's right. To address the haters.
It's going to get earlier next year, right? Is next year the Bowling Green or is that 28, Phil?
28 is Bowling Green. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so Bill Connolly, who not a Gamecock fan at all.
No.
Has an article on ESPN, why South Carolina could be college football's next first national champion. So ESPN's saying it.
So it must be us.
So it's all us. Bill Connolly, who never really writes anything positive about Carolina. Jesus, man. And you know why you have things like this pop up? It's because they see the players on the roster, right? I mean, it's so hypocritical because, like, all the argument all the time against South Carolina being good is they don't have the players. Now they got the players. It's like just people that think that, you know, they're going to lose. A lot of Gamecock fans are like, well, yeah, they got the players, but Beamer's still the head coach. I'm like, well, look at what Beamer's issues as a head coach. There's a different plan in the issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. All right, Phil, let's take a break. Matt, I'm going to ask you about production when we get back.
Sure. Love to do it.
And we'll see. I'll get off. But yeah, that's what we should do, man. All right. So we're going to do that next year. So in 1 year, we're going to come back and address the haters. And now, and I'm not talking about the folks that go after Brad. Yeah, you know, I defended Bradford the other day and defended Deputy Smitty today. I'll do that. But I kind of like getting into the weeds on that one. When you go back through and look at these people, what they tweet to everybody, you learn a lot about the mindset. And I'm convinced now it's that, I think his name is Billy Sticks or something, Clemson fan. That was, he compiled a dossier of all of us, everybody that works covers the Gamecocks or talks about the Gamecocks.
That's why I just try not to read it, man. It's like, there's somebody that finds something terrible about you or doesn't like your style. Like, well, stop watching my show.
Like, I don't care. Yeah. It's like, man, I mean, you know who else has haters? And I've learned this about haters, and this is why I like to have fun with it now. It doesn't bother me anymore. So I can just be free and give it right back when it's time to do that. But look, I learned this. It was recently. I found a old YouTube clip of Adam Sandler. And they had this thing called Mean Tweets on one of the late night shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jimmy
Fallon. And somebody said, when the aliens come, I hope they eat Adam Sandler first. And I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, as beloved as Adam Sandler is, as creative and talented as Adam Sandler is, as good of a person as Adam Sandler is, he has haters. And I'm just convinced that when you're successful at something, you have a bigger following.
There's always people out there.
Because not everybody likes everything when it comes to entertainment and information and stuff like that. We're all different. And so a smaller percentage of people, and then the more you get a following, the bigger that group grows by percentage. It's just natural. So I take it as a compliment, but I don't like lies, you know, and to sit there and just talk us up to saying we're 12-0, really. And somebody that's positioning himself as having worked in football, it's kind of fun. We'll be back and going to change the subject after this.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show here. Final segment of the show for the week. Get to take a little break here, at least from the broadcasting side of things. Yeah, got Matt Anderson, the late night Gamecock, in with us here, so might as well talk some numbers.
Here in a second.
I gotta
give a shout out to Bruin because I missed this. Dear Stan, I wrote you about the Gamecocks, but you didn't write back. That's cool. I figured you're busy tweeting at Coach Beaver. I tweeted him sometimes too while being drunk off my butt. Stan, are you there?
That's awesome.
That's the Eminem song. Oh man. So yeah, Cockweed knows who Billy Sticks is.
Oh, that's great.
Close to God. It's like, yeah. It's about, but yeah, if you look at the tweets and you look at the non-objectivity, but because you can't be objective and sit there and go, oh, it's the same receiver core. It sucks. Yeah. Or you can't sit there and be objective and like trash Nick Harbor and all that. You can't be objective and call Todd Ellis the worst quarterback of all time based on, admittedly, a large number of interceptions. I mean, seriously, that wasn't good. But trust, I mean, you must not have watched a lot of Gamecock football nor known very much about quarterbacking.
Right.
If you think he's the worst of all time, or could be, or he's even in that conversation. So I don't know. And yeah. So anyway, that was fun. Matt, so on thebigspur.com, you're laying out the production. I don't explain this to people. Projection, running back projections, receiver projections, production. What Matt does, he's got a formula, just like fantasy football projections, right? And we're not giving away the proprietary. They're Matt's property. I don't understand it. But you came up with some interesting numbers, and I want to talk about the running backs real quick. You know, just kind of what you arrived at. I know that Kendall Briles' history as a coordinator has something to do with it, plus player production and things like that in the past. But it was really kind of an interesting read, I think, for all of you that read it.
Yeah, so off the cuff, you know, Kendall Briles has shown that a tendency, if he has a truly elite running back, to really pound the rock with that running back. You can go back to Devin Singletary. You can look at Rocket Sanders. And normally there's going to be one running back that if Kendall Briles feels gives them the best chance, is going to get the most carries. So, you know, and everything that, you know, you piece together the historical stuff from Briles, the historical stuff on the players, you piece together the situations that the offensive coordinator, the players have been in, and then you just try and paint a picture, JC. And you also take into account what you've kind of heard behind the scenes. And what we've heard behind the scenes is Matt Fuller is a running back that can jump on the SEC landscape for a casual fan who might not know who he is. And then you look at Christian Clark, and when he was given opportunities last season, he delivered. Then you have Jerron Howell, who for me is one of the most electric players on the football team. And then Isaiah Augustov, who had the opportunity at Colorado, had the opportunity at where else is he at, JC? I'm blanking on it right now. And that's
Arkansas as well.
And you can kind of see that this is going to be a four-headed monster. And then you also have a dual threat quarterback in Lenore Sellers, who's going to get some design runs, some scrambles, that sort of thing. And you just look at it and you try and break it down. So, like, I think that based on my projections, Matt Fuller has an opportunity to be a 1,000-yard rusher for the Gamecocks, actually 1,100-plus yards, maybe get 12 touchdowns. But then you also have to – you can't just look at the rosy picture, right, JC?
Just be clear for all of you fired former employees of championship football programs or people that resigned or whatever. I don't really care. You're not working there anymore, and the sport's better off for it. So be clear. So there's a best case scenario,
yeah,
a most likely scenario, and a worst case scenario. So you just went through the best for Matt Fuller. So let's go.
Yeah. So like for Matt Fuller, you have a best case scenario where the offensive line really takes to, you know, what Randy Clements is trying to do, takes to the Briles system. It works in space. It's quick. It's fast. And you can see a best case, but you can also see a situation where despite an off season, a spring ball, a fall camp where maybe there's injuries, maybe, you know, players won't produce the way that we feel they will produce. So you can also get to a worst case scenario. And we all saw a worst case scenario last year where the offense gets predictable. It runs up the middle. The defense knows what's coming. And in that situation, you're probably going to be playing from behind as well. So in a best case scenario, you could see Matt Fuller with 215 or more carries. In a worst case, it might be 140 because the offensive line's not getting a push in the run game. Lenore Sellers is running around like a chicken with his head cut off like last year. And, you know, there's going to be limited opportunities to run the ball if you're down the majority of the game. You know, you have to pass to catch up in most scenarios. So, yeah, it's all on thebigspur.com. I tried to explain it the best I could there. But, you know, Christian Clark has an opportunity. I mean, you could see a best case scenario where, you know, Christian Clark and Matt Fuller combined for 330 carries, Lenore Sellers chips in 100. Well, that's 400, 500, you know, somewhere in that range amount of rushing attempts. And you're going to have that many plays over the course of the season. You're going to be playing at, you know, potentially 72, 75, 80 offensive plays a game. So you have to work all that into your projections. And it's something that I brought to thebigspur.com this year. And I do this, and it takes a very long time to do a lot of spreadsheets. And I didn't do it this year, but it's been successful when every year I played fantasy football for the last 5 years. I do it for every team. I don't have as much time as I used to. But so you can kind of just make, you know, what could possibly happen. And that's where all this comes from. There's some receiving stuff on there. Yeah. There's Lenore Sellers as well. But remember, everything funnels from Lenore Sellers. As productive as Lenore Sellers can be for the Gamecocks, it opens up the run game. It opens up passing attempts. Remember, Lenore Sellers, even from a passing throwing standpoint, he only is average for his career, maybe 22 to 24 passing attempts per game. That's going to go way up, y'all. That number is going to be 27 to 30, maybe 30 plus in some games, but it's going to be more balanced. It's going to be also, you know, there might be 55% of the end of the season are all rushing plays and 45% are passing plays, but Lenore Sellers has to get his chunk of that too. So it funnels down from Lenore Sellers and what he can do.
Yeah. And, you know, Kendall Briles calls them mixed plays and they're RPOs because they were running these plays back in high school. And so they called a mix. And then I guess that didn't take. And some, then they're RPOs. Lenore Sellers, his success this year, people can talk about and needs to throw it better or whatever. I think he's going to have a good year, and I think people are going to be pretty pleased with what he does. I think the difference between having a good year and a great year for him is going to be his ability to master these mixed plays, RPOs.
The RPO. It's the RPO.
Because it's just so – I mean, you know, it's just so – it gets really tricky for D coordinators to try to stop it. If you're executing, if you're not, if you have, you know, because what a lot of RPO plays have is you read the box, right? And if there's the box is like close to the line of scrimmage, so there's six guys, it's a heavy box, it means run, so you're going to throw it. And this is very simple, the simplistic explanation for the basic concept. If it's not, you know, if it's a wider, lighter box, you're going to run it. And then if it's, then there's some where you take off and there's a tag, it's called a tag, where the quarterback has the option, if he sees something, to take off and run.
Well, it's also then, to hand to the running back as well. It's very complicated.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it's a lighter box, you run it to the running back. You hand
yeah,
it off.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
And then the quarterback run is tagged onto that. And that's easier said than done. To read those with certain quarterbacks. I don't know that Lenoris ever did a great job of those last year, but I don't know that they were more than like a every now and then. Because Mike Shula ran RPOs. Dowell Loggins ran RPOs.
Furry ran them too when he took over.
So it's Furry ran a lot of them. So it's just one of those things, you know, that's that you build off of. It's very basic. Craig points out about what Perry said yesterday, if the linebacker turns and runs, you hand it off. If he attacks the gap, you throw behind him. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things you do too. And that's kind of in after snap.
You know, well, don't post-snap. Forget this too, even pre-snap, JC, and this is something that I think is going to be
different. Yeah, I explained the pre-snap before we got, you know, that's what I was talking about was pre-snap reading the box. But yeah. But post-snap,
the movement and pre-snap is going to be different. Last year, the movement had no purpose.
Yeah.
This year, it's going to have a purpose, and it's going to be drilled in. And that's where Bryles has made his bread and butter.
Yes. And so, but the quarterback still got it. Like, Kendall Bryles can dial them up all he wants. But if the quarterback doesn't execute that at the high level, it gets really hard, in my opinion. Because then it's like the whole purpose of these, you know what I'm saying? So I think Lenore Sellers has to do it.
You know, I think there's something here too. You know, we always talk about this, and I've said this, and you've said it. Other national people have said it. You know, in college, you're coaching to win a college game, right? You're not developing your players necessarily to be, you know, Tom Brady or, you know, Joe Burrow, whatever. You're playing to win the game. But if there's anything that I can look and point to is Lenore Sellers was under pressure 163 times last year on dropbacks. That's a ridiculously insane number, right? We've all talked about it. But if Mike Shula maybe couldn't call the plays, but he could teach the progressions and teach Lenore Sellers the pro game, now you have a Kendall Bryles coming in to do the other end of it. Like, okay, you understand how to read defenses. Yeah, you were just under pressure a lot last year. Nothing's changed now. But now we're going to be able to execute the college playbook, and you don't have to worry about the NFL principles. They're kind of sitting in the back of your mind to think about and draw from, but it's not primary like front cortex stuff.
Yeah. You know, and it's quicker developing too. And for Lenore Sellers, I think when he plays faster and what's the phrase I used last year, Phil, aligned with the operational tempo of the
that's
game.
That's right. Yes.
That's when he's had his best games tempo. Throwing it, running it. It doesn't matter. When it gets herky jerky and slow, and there were some games last year where I think Sellers looked at the sidelines a couple of times and he's trying to hurry things up. I think this he just plays better. Some guys do.
Well, it's what he played in high school, JC.
Yeah.
And in high school, it was very much his high school film. If you go watch it, and I went to a lot of his games, it was more like a basketball game of runs. Like when they got on a run, it was, let's go, come on, let's go. I'm going to run the exact same play up the gut because they can't stop it. They can't figure it out. Like, he has that somewhere in his cortex. Like, he knows how to do it. But, you know, God bless him. He's had multiple offensive coordinators. That's tough.
I think, too, run game-wise, you need him accelerating on like he can, he's capable of on every open field run. You know, if like Clemson last year, he not only had the Houdini plays where he got out of trouble, he would then accelerate quickly down the field. And it would, I mean, the two touchdowns weren't his only big runs of the day.
No, he had 160
and that was a yards. That was a different runner than we've seen in some games.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you can get to that with him on top of executing the RPOs and everything else, you know, you could have a, I mean, that's the difference to me. It's all about the execution and the making the right reads. And I want to be clear about that because we've talked an awful long time about the system last year versus this year and how it was hard to learn in the execution, building off of what Matt accurately said, that the whole offense's success is going to flow out of him like most quarterbacks.
Well, let me add one more thing, JC. And look, I completely understand every game, what Strick was saying earlier. I agree with him. You have to treat every game as it's the most important game on the schedule. But running this offense against Kent State and Towson should be a tick slower from the defensive standpoint than it has been in practice. So it should give him an opportunity in practices and scrimmages to maybe the game slows down just a hair. And then when Mississippi State comes, now you're mixing, you know, the Kent State, the Towson game, and the practices to say, okay, this is what he picked up quickly. This is what he did well. This is our wide receiver ran this route great. And, you know, then you can kind of see something explode potentially against Mississippi State. But this is why in my projections, I have a best case, a most likely, and a worst case. Like, there are multiple scenarios that Gamecock fans have seen every year.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to finish what I was saying, we've been talking about how the system was hard and all that, and this is easier to run and all that. And I want to be clear about this. He still has to execute it, right? And I think, though, you know, as far as is this season going to be good or not, a lot just hinges on that. I think more so than the O-line, and all, unless the O-line's just another disaster. Yeah. I think that but I'll also say this in fairness to Lenore Sellers, most teams' success depends on how their quarterback executes.
Right. Yeah.
As if you have a problem with that, your offense isn't going very far, is it?
Yes. It's typically the number one indicator of whether or not your offense can move is how well your quarterback plays.
Exactly. Yeah. But right. Playing well, though, a lot of times is execution and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that Lenore Sellers never needs to freelance. You got to let him freelance too. And I think Kendall Briles will. But that ability to run that RPO game, I think, is going to be, because you can just kind of see how hard that would be to figure. If you're a defense, I mean, okay, so we got to guess as to, you know, we're going to figure out what they're doing. And then, by the way, if we trick him, he may just pull the ball and run around the edge where we don't have anybody, because we're both defending the inside run and we're defending the, you know, we just let it turn him loose. You turn him loose.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say one more thing about the turn him loose, and I know we got to get out of here, but this year, if Lenore Sellers can't score a touchdown, I think Gamecock fans should want him to slide. He is very important to this offense. And, like, let's not call it weakness. Let's call it being smart, because it's a different offense if Cutter comes in, just like it is for any other program in the country. When the backup comes in, you have to adjust and change things. So if he slides, don't criticize him.
I think last year the problem was like when he was trying, it didn't look natural.
Exactly.
But a lot of things didn't look natural. And I, you know, the more I think about it, I mean, you know, with the Mike Shula era, it's like, surely he's not doing that. Surely they're not installing Mike Shula's playbook in a new playbook. The whole reason you kept him, I thought, was to keep it going. Well, then you find out, you had to install a new playbook. And then I thought, surely they're not coaching him up and they haven't drilled it in his head not to run as much. Right. You know, yeah. Surely they're not, but then it should look like it. I mean, look at how awkward and herky jerky and almost spastic the slides were. And he didn't know where he was on the field, you know, and he took the heat for that. Like, cause people were thinking he was just loafing or whatever. I think that it was too much overload trying to make him into a pro quarterback, because that's what Shula knew. And really that's what Loggins knew. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's their definition of a good quarterback. I don't blame him for that. I don't think all of the nuance of playing the pro game is coming into to play with Kendall Briles. But I do want to say, I want to be clear about this, though. So I don't sound like I'm predicting 12-0, right? I want to say this. Lenora still has to go out and do it and execute. And that's the key. Because there is a world where, you know, based on what we've seen, where maybe it's a little iffy, you know, you got to make the right reads and all that. But it, you know, sometimes guys in their third year as a starter, that's when a lot of that gets cleaned up very, very at a high level. I mean, Fernando Mendoza wasn't the best, didn't make all the perfect reads at Cal. He was a great quarterback, you know, and then that got cleaned up. And no, I'm not predicting 16-0 either. Right. So TD says Carolina's going 10-2. Michael says, see y'all game 1 week. We'll love to have you, man.
Yeah, man. We'll see.
Predictions. I mean, I predicted 10-2, but I also said at the end of the show it could be 7-10 wins. I mean, you gotta pick a game at some point, and every, like Raphael says it all the time, like circumstances change, but especially it's college. Fun. Like we all want to pick a schedule. Like I love picking every schedule in the SEC. It's fun. You're not going to be perfect. I don't live in Vegas. I don't own casinos. I just give my honest opinion.
I don't like picks. I mean, I don't like score predictions and stuff.
I know. We was doing that.
People take them way too seriously. I'm like, yeah. Look at you. You said 23-14. It's 24-14. You're a moron.
But I like you.
It was my hesitancy to see Carolina the projection for the article upset. Too.
Huh?
It's like, yeah, it was my hesitancy with the projection. Like, all I can do is give you the data, and this could happen. Like,
yeah, you just got to stick with it. Yeah, you got to stick with the data. And it's funny because it's like, and it just kind of depends, you know, on, instead of seeing it for what it is, a lot of times folks that, you know, they want that they've convinced themselves they're going to believe, they're going to gravitate toward that best case scenario number and be like, you know, Matt Fuller could be an 1,100 yard rusher this year. The others are going to gravitate toward the worst case scenario number. And what was it, 600 or 700 yards? And they're going to be like, I can't believe Matt said he made 700 yards. He ain't going to sniff 700 yards this year. And I keep using a Southern accent for these idiots. And I don't mean to do that because I don't think they talk like that, Phil.
Well, dude, actually, gosh, what's his name? Jeff Foxworthy had a great bit where he was like, you know, Southern people are smart, but it's the Southern accent that throws people off. Like, nobody wants your brain doctor to say, well, what we're going to do is we're going to cut open into your skull, dig around with a stick for a little bit, see if we can find that damn tumor. Like, nobody wants to hear that.
Dude, my doctor in Columbia is great human being. He's from Kershaw County, I think, or Winsboro, someplace like that. And he's got a little bit of an accent, but God love those people, you know. But yeah, I gotta quit using that. Hey man, how you doing? That's probably not who we're dealing with in Hater World.
No.
Anyway, we're gonna deal with Hater World in 365 days. In the meantime. Be sure, we still got the special going on the bigspur.com. $249 a month is what it comes out to, $29.95 for the whole year. It's a really solid deal. Like I've been telling everybody, this academic year at South Carolina, it's going to be eventful either way in all sports. You know, you got nothing to lose, even if they lose. Even if we're all, God forbid, this season goes horribly wrong.
Oh, my.
And it's like, we're sitting there like in October going, oh my God, I don't think I can. I'm gonna just take a vacation.
Yeah, we might have to take a week off.
Seriously, I'm just taking a week off if it goes that bad. I don't think I will. Nah. But you know, so in 365 days, you know, you won't have to pay again. And so hopefully y'all consider it. Matt will be along with Late Night Sunday Night. And then we'll start it all over again Monday. Don't forget next week. Inside the Game. Yeah, that's good. It's good to do it on this day, Phil, because the haters thing. Yeah. Because next Friday we're going to the preview show anyway.
Preview show. So yeah, there's no room for haters there.
I love it. So yeah, so we'll be rocking and rolling next week. The Tailgate Show is back. We're back Saturday morning. Don't forget Four Quarter Friday, Saturday recap, all the high school sports. High school football action. I don't know. They're talking other sports on Saturdays. A lot of full slate of games tonight brewing from my heart to yours, to you and Matt Anderson. I am sorry about that start for South Florence. I know
it's a tough schedule, y'all. Tough schedule.
Look, the James Island game, I halfway expected, you know, if you're a South Carolina Gamecock, unless your kid goes to Hilton Head High School or you're from Hilton Head, you probably shouldn't pull for Hilton Head ever.
Right.
For a number of reasons. That surprised me that they beat him like that. But we'll see what happens.
We're okay. We're fine. We're fine.
Everything's
okay.
Burns Rebels, Dorman Cavaliers tonight. The Highway 290 battle. Meet me. Now, they do talk like that. Meet me at Publix. That's fine. There's a Publix almost halfway between Dorman and Burns. You go through more past our good friend that lives on Ray Hill Road. He does live on Ray Hill Road. Pass him, past the horse pastures and all, you get to through more into Duncan. And that's how you get from Dorman to Burns.
That's right.
From Duncan to Roebuck. So big one tonight, fourquarterfriday.com. We'll have all the scores for you. Matt, dude, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Always is. Y'all have a good one. I'm going to my fantasy football draft.
That's right. Matt's got a big weekend, too.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll report in Sunday night if I hate my team.
Sweet.
That's right.
All right. The Late Night Game Cop, Matt Anderson for the Mad Dog. This is JC Sherbert. See you on Monday, folks. Game week is forthcoming.